Today we're going to read in Psalm 103. Please stand. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgive all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Amen.
Thank you.
Did he turn it off? Happy 29th anniversary, Steve.
I never give her the microphone, you know what I mean? Never had her do that before. Yeah, I always make a joke. It's like 29 long years. She says, you're not going to say that in front of them, are you? So I didn't say that. All right. What's that? What did Corey say?
She said, I don't look a day over 29.
Yeah, she said she doesn't look a day over 29, but as for me, well, you know, yeah. I tell you, bald does wonders to help you look a little older. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Well, you guys know that the mission of the church and the whole goal of our church is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor the way Christ loves us. And so that's where we're going. That's who we are. And that's basically the direction that we're headed as a church, because it ends up that everything hinges on love. Everything. Every issue you've ever had in your life, everything you've ever failed at, every mistake you ever made, every relationship you ever broke, whatever's happened in your life, it's always hinged upon us not loving the way that we should have. And so it's a really important thing. But it's interesting that it says to love the Lord with all your soul. And if I were to ask you today, is everybody loving the Lord with their soul? You'd have to think, well, I don't know. I don't know if we really understand that. It seems a little abstract. Like I don't know what that means exactly. I'm not sure I want to agree to that. But here's what it means. Our soul is the very essence of who we are. It's your personality. It's everything that makes you up. It's this thing that we have to understand, that like the way God made us and everything, our mind and our will and our emotions and everything put together makes us who we are. And so the question is, do we really love the Lord with all of our soul? And sometimes that's a hard thing to do, because this is the human side of us. Amen. You know, and it's hard to do it all, right? I mean, we love the Lord with all of our heart, we love the Lord with our soul, but the question is, what is it that we need to change about ourselves to get our soul in alignment to where God wants us to be, right? Because things get a little corrupted at times in life, and so it can be a difficult thing. So the soul is composed of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And if you think about it this way, it's important for our mind to be in the right place. It's important for us to think straight. It's important for us to have the truth. in order for our will to be right, because the will is basically the way that we act, the free will that we have, the decisions that we make, the choices that we make all the time. These things are never going to be right if the way we think is wrong.
Amen.
Isn't that the way it is? But here's the problem with life is, we tend to live by perception. I make judgments about things based on the way I see them, the way I kind of judge them to be. And perceptions are not always right. I know in the corporate world, they'll tell you that perception is reality. The reason they say that is because the way people think about things is the way it is in your corporate workplace, and you have to change that. You have to get it to a point where your culture is right. But here's how it is in the real world, in the spiritual world, is that we only have truth to live by.
Amen.
And we've got to live by truth and not by perception, because the way I view people is not always the way it is.
Amen.
Don't you know that? Like you go to Walmart and you see somebody and they see you and they look at you like this and then they turn away like they don't know who you are, right? And so we make this assumption about them. They're just not nice people, you know? So now my perception of that person based on my 2-second experience at Walmart is I don't like that person. They don't like me. I think we're okay. We'll just leave it like that. You know what I mean? And so the thing about it is that I don't want to live by perception when it comes to people, because here's the thing. God made them, and they're important to him, and I can't judge them within 2 minutes or 2 seconds and decide what they're really all about.
Amen.
And so I don't want to live by perception. I want to live by the reality of things and truth. And then here's what we also know, that if we don't think right, then the choices that we make aren't always right. And then guess what? Our emotions aren't always right either. Anybody have feelings you need to rein in every once in a while? Okay, we know what that's about, right? So sometimes our emotions get a little wound up. They get a little bit out there. And so sometimes we don't think and feel the way we ought to feel. And sometimes we get to a place where I don't feel real good about my life. My perception of life isn't really good. And it all stems from the fact that I see life a little different than maybe some other people see it. Life different than the way God intended it to be. And I don't think I'm the only one like that. I think that a lot of people are like that. I think that not everyone sees life the way it ought to be. Not everybody sees God the way he should be seen. Not everybody sees people the way they should be seen. Not everybody judges situations in reality and in truth. And so we've got to get to this place where we take a hard look at what the real issue is. And for a lot of us, the real issue is just that we've been living by perception and not by truth.
Amen.
You know, there are a lot of things that we can get wrong in this world. A lot of times people see God the wrong way, you know? A lot of times people see God and they see him as someone who doesn't care about them, someone who doesn't really understand them, because some of you have been through some really difficult things and then God didn't show up the way you thought he ought to. You prayed about something and he didn't really deliver the way you think he ought to deliver, and it began to break down things and you began to come up with some ideas about what God's really like, you know? And sometimes you begin to view yourself differently. Maybe God doesn't help me because I'm not the person I ought to be. You know, if I would stop doing all these things, then God would love me, and then everything would go all right. And so things aren't really going to be right until I do everything his way, and then it's finally going to be once I somehow attain perfection, then God's blessing is going to fall over me and everything's going to be okay. Those perceptions aren't right. The bottom line is you will never be perfect. Things will never always be right. They will never be in a place where you get it all figured out and you've arrived, and God's love for you goes beyond your ability to do those things.
Amen.
Right? God loves you no matter what. We've got to get to a place where our soul cries out to God and says, God, I love you with everything in me because I know who you are. Yeah, I know the truth about you. I know the truth about your people. I know the truth about situations. More than anything, I just want my soul to be in alignment with God, but my soul will never be in alignment with him until my thinking is in alignment with him. My actions are in alignment with him, right? So we've got to get to this place where those things are right, and then my emotions also follow suit, and I'll find myself not being all wound up and out in left field somewhere. Anybody ever been in left field?
Amen.
You know, it's so interesting how it's just our human experience. We can go through life, and everything can go great, and everybody's fine, and life is good until something weird happens, and then you spin out, and you get in a place where I don't think people even like me. I don't even know if God likes me, and I just think everything's bad, and I wish I wasn't here anymore. Anybody ever hit one of those spots before? I mean, it's easy to get to a really strange place. It's easy for your soul to get off in left field if you do not completely steep your soul in the truth and get to a place where you're reading the words so the truth gets in you so that you know what you're really all about and what your God is all about, right?
Amen.
So, here's what the scripture says. I want to read this to you because it's really important. You know, David says this. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, right? He's saying, Lord, I love you with my soul. We don't always say that, right? When's the last time you said, Lord, I love you with my soul? Sometimes we might say, I love you with all my heart. I love you with everything in me. But we don't always say that. But it's interesting that David goes on and he says this. He throws some truths out there, and I want you to get these truths. Now, I want to tell you this too. I was at a church one time where the pastor was saying some truths. He was throwing them out there, and there was something inside inside the hearts of the audience that just jumped up and yelled every time they heard the truth. Like, there was something in them that, like, the Holy Spirit just jumped and leapt inside of them, right? Like, when the truth was read. So you just feel free for the Holy Spirit to leap out of you when I tell you the truth, okay? I'm just telling you right now. Okay, here it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Colon, right? Okay, I mean, you can get that. Okay, it's like now let me list them for you. Who forgives all your sins? God forgives every sin you ever committed in your life. Do you know that? Every sin. Not just the ones that aren't any big deal. Okay, he did them all, right? He forgave them all. Here's what David says. This stuff's supposed to feed you today, okay? I want you to get the truth in you. He heals all your diseases. Amen. He redeems your life from the pit. Amen. Is anybody happy about that? He restores people, right? And he crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things. Anybody excited about this? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. For everyone who feels like you've been down before, God works out righteousness through you in the midst of it because you only have him to lean on. You don't have anything else. You can't figure it out. Anybody ever have a problem so big you couldn't figure it out on your own? Anybody? All right, here's the thing. You only have God to lean on. It is his righteousness you need. It is his righteousness that makes you right before God. And it says that there's justice for all those who are oppressed. So for everyone who thinks they need to enact their own justice in this world, I want you to know God will do it for you if you let him.
Amen.
Don't try to make everything right because that's not... God wants to do it for you. He wants to be the one to defend you. He wants to stand in your place. He wants to make the one. He wants to be the one to make you right.
Amen.
The scripture goes on to say, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He has compassion for your situation. He understands you. It's not like he looks at your life and thinks, I can't believe he got himself in that mess again. He looks at your life and he says, man, I have so much better for you. Please come over here. Can you imagine just like a father would say, come to me for a minute. I need to talk to you. I love you. And it's okay that you're messed up. It's okay that you got yourself in a tough situation. I just love you where you're at. Does anybody need to hear that today? Goes on to say this, he's slow to anger and he's abounding in love. And if someone had told me that years ago when I had my legalistic upbringing, I would say, God's angry at me all the time. But this is the truth. At some point, we have to read the Bible for ourselves and not believe everything that we've heard, right?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but this like feeds me inside because he's slow to anger and he's abounding in love. Is that my life doesn't make God angry all the time. My failures don't make him angry. He just looks at me and he says, I have so much more for you. Come here. I want to fix things with you. I want to work on things with you. I want to restore you. That's our God, right? He says he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He doesn't treat you the way you deserve to be treated. He doesn't treat you with death. Your sin doesn't bring death in you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Is anybody excited about this, right? Okay, is your soul getting picked up just a little bit here today? Is this working for you? Because it's working for me. Here's the thing I want you to get today is as the truth is sowed into your life, I want you to begin to feel what this feels like. Because right now there's something that's welling up inside of us because the Spirit of God is saying, this is right, right? It is well with my soul. Do you guys know what the song means, right? And so it's like this is working. The truth is taking hold. It's changing the way I think. It's changing the way that I feel. And it's changing the decisions that I make. Because I'm in this moment right now, I feel like I don't have to fix anything on my own, that God's got me.
Amen.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, I have more for you. Okay, here's what it says. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
Hallelujah.
God loves you that much, right?
Yeah.
I want you to get this. For those who fear him, it's not like we're afraid of him. It's a respect thing, right? It's a reverence thing. It's for those who revere the Lord, for those who have respect for him and understand that he holds the keys to life and death.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
he does.
Thank you, Lord.
Then it's for you. He goes on to say this, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us.
Thank you.
Anybody glad that God took every sin you had and threw it so far away it can't be found? That's the truth of the matter. And you know what? There are people in this world who will bring up everything you've ever done wrong and bring it back and serve it to you on a plate. And I can tell you, they are not of God.
Amen.
Because when transgressions are paid for and they are done and they are cast as far as the east is from the west,
There is nobody who has a right to go find those things and bring them back to you because you have been set free from that stuff, right? That's the truth of the matter. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Don't you understand? He is your father. He is your daddy, right? He is the one you go to that when you have issues, that you lay him out before him and he has compassion for your situation and he loves you where you're at. He never expected perfection out of you. He never expected that you'd have it all together. He just wanted your heart. He just wanted you to come to him and say, with everything you've put into me, I lay it down before you. And Lord, I just pray that you work through what I give you back, which is all of me, right? Amen. He goes on to say this, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is for those who fear him. His love, we can't talk enough about that, right? His love for you goes further than you can even imagine. It's not like human love. It's not like when you make a mistake, somebody decides to cut it off. God never cuts off his love for you, never. Because he created you and he loves you no matter what state you're in. He just wants you to come home, right? Amen. It says that his righteousness is with their children's children. What you're doing right now, what's happening in your life right now is being passed down from generation to generation and future generations. There are great things happening in the spiritual realm because of the decisions you are making today, your decision to stand upon the truth. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts, these are all the things that are yours. I don't know about you, but I could use this every day of my life. It's interesting the things that I do focus on at times, and I don't think we're any different than each other. I think there are times where my day is filled with perception. I can't believe I have to go do this one more time, right? I can't believe I got to go through this. I can't believe I have to have this conversation. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I got a problem with this. I got a problem with that. We can talk about all the things that we don't like. And I can tell you what, this is what we need to be focusing on. This is where we need to be meditating, because when we're meditating in this stuff, our soul is becoming aligned with God, so we can finally make the statement, Lord, I love you with all of my soul. Yes. Amen. I don't want to be in this place where I love the Lord with just a little piece of everything I've got. Because to be honest, it was a picture of my life for a long time, and maybe somebody here knows what I'm talking about. Like, we don't need to be in this place where we just partially love God with a little bit of what he gave us. We need to love the Lord with all of our souls, but we have to saturate our minds with the truth. Amen. Because this truth of the Word, the things that I just read to you about how God sees you, and by the way, everything that we see in this passage about how God sees us is exactly the way that we need to see other people. Because here's the thing, all these things that God did for you that I just read to you, he did it for everybody you don't like too.
Amen.
That's the reality of it. And we can say, oh, I have my issues, I keep my distance, I'm not sure I like them, and blah, blah, blah. We can say all that stuff if we want to, but the bottom line is these truths hold for them, and we've got to treat them with the same respect and the same concern that God has cared for us. Amen. And we've got to see them that way. And we'll find that as we do that, then the actions that we take in our lives will be consistent with what's happening in our minds. So as the truth is sowed into your minds, the truth of the Word of God, it will change the way you see people, it will change the way you talk to people, it will change the way you act toward people. It's also true that as I read you these truths about God today, for some of you, this might have been kind of an earth-shattering moment. It's like, I didn't know God really felt that way about me. And as I read that to you today, and that, by the way, is the truth. That's not Steve's opinion. That's the truth.
Amen. Amen.
And as I read the truth to you today, it changes the way you see God.
Amen.
And for some of you today, you needed to understand that God loves you even in the midst of your mess, because today there are some messes in this place. And in the South, it's interesting. We call people a mess or a hot mess, and it's supposed to be something that's not that bad, okay? But when I say mess, I mean a mess, okay? A Western mess, all right? You know what I mean? The thing about it is these truths matter if we have a mess going on in our life. That the bottom line is that these truths still hold true, and I can take my soul that has been steeped in perception for a long time, and I can turn it over and I can say, you know what, I choose not to ever live by perception anymore. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to judge anybody based on what I see. I just want to know that the people that are in my life, they're those people right there. They're the people that Jesus died for. They're the ones who God has compassion for, that he's slow to anger for, right?
Amen.
Those are the people. And that he doesn't treat them like their sins deserve. So why would I do that? God has let me off the hook so many times in my life, and he continues to forgive me. He continues to pour out grace. He continues to pour out his mercy. Who am I to withhold it from anybody, right?
Amen.
I mean, we need to be just people who are just dealing and distributing these things out freely because it was freely given to us.
Amen.
And at some point, we have to get to this place that our very being, the personality that we have, the mind, the will, and the emotions and everything gets to a place where it's completely like in parallel with God.
Amen.
And we are going the direction that He wants us to go.
Amen.
And that we can truly say that, Lord, I love You with all my heart, with everything You've done in me. That I love You with all my soul.
Amen.
Because I've given all that to You. And I love You with all of my mind because I've turned it over to You and I'm no longer going to let it be steeped in the world that it's in. Because I don't know about you guys, but there I have voices in my life that aren't always positive. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And sometimes those voices can be close to you. But I have these voices in my life, and you do too, that are not always speaking positive things, that are chipping away and chewing away at what God is wanting to accomplish.
Amen.
And at some point, we have to quiet those things and say, Lord, I want You to protect my mind. I want my mind to be steeped on the truth and not in the way that I see the world, because oftentimes we see the world by the people that are around us. Anybody have someone so negative around you, they're constantly going like this, and eventually you get negative? You know what I'm talking about? We have to be careful what voices we allow into our lives, and we have to be careful to not take those things in and let them become our perception. Some of us work very closely with people who are very negative,
yes,
who are difficult. You're like, yes. I mean, it's the truth, right? Let's just be real. We have these people sometimes that are so negative that it wrecks our perception of the world around us to the point where we're not going back to the scripture and saying, I wonder what God says about the world that I live in. That we just begin to paint a picture of the world that's not accurate at all. And we begin to, our actions begin to flow in relation to our perception. And our emotions get there too. We begin to feel hopeless. We begin to feel like things are falling apart. Anybody ever been there before? Right? But we have to live by the truth. And the truth changes everything, you know?
Amen.
So here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is that you would take some time to read what the Word of God says. Not just about how God sees you, but how we're to see people and how we're supposed to be and what life is really like and how we're supposed to view the world around us. I mean, in the Word of God, there's some really amazing things. And I think some of us think that this is, you know, I know growing up, it's like I read it, but I didn't really understand the value of it. But this Bible is filled with truth. It's filled with truth that will literally change your life. And I know some people go, well, I want to read through it in a year. Well, I mean, if you want to be eager, go read through it in a year if you want to. But your life would be majorly changed if every day you would just choose a section of it and decide that you're going to read that and that you're going to do what I just did. I highlighted the truth, just the truths in there that I felt really jumped out at me, okay? And I took those in because they're mine. You know, they're yours and they're mine and they're truths for us. And it changes the way we think. And it changes the way we feel, and it changes the way we see people. It does all that. But we've got to take in truth, because you can't just completely surround your life with people who are negative or people who are not godly and then somehow think that you're going to have a right perspective. It just doesn't work out that way. But a lot of us don't have any choice. It's the world we live in. But we have a choice whether or not we want to take in the truth. It's up to you, right? So I want to pray today for you. That God really stirs up a want for just a hunger for the truth. But one thing I want you to know too is that this walking in the truth, you'll never begin that walk until you accept Jesus Christ into your life. It just doesn't start. It doesn't do anything until Christ comes into you, and then there's something that happens inside of you that you want the truth so badly that you just have to have it all the time.
Amen.
And I want to pray for you. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. If there is anyone here today who says, I'm really ready to walk this path of truth because I'm tired of living in this negative, hopeless place. I'm tired of living in this place that's been based on perception. I want to live in the truth. The truth starts with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
And when you accept Him, your life begins to change. And here are the things that you can expect is that as Jesus comes into your heart, it doesn't make you perfect overnight. It doesn't purify everything in you overnight because that's a process as you walk with the Lord. But as you receive Him into your heart, everything begins to change. That your heart begins to change, the way you think begins to change, your hunger for the Word changes. You get to a place where you realize that God has so much more for you and that your life just gets turned upside down in an amazingly good way.
Amen.
If that's where you're at today and you say, I want Jesus in my heart and I want to begin to walk this new path so that my soul gets in alignment with God. If that's where you're at, if you would just lift your hand today, thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else today? Thank you. Thank you. I just want to lead you in a prayer just between you and God today. Father God, today I give you my life. I'm tired of walking in this hopeless place, this confusing place, without you. Father, today I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected. And today I accept Jesus Christ in my heart and choose to walk in truth. Father, give me ears to hear your Spirit speak to me. And Father, give me the strength to walk out this new life that you've put before me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.